Hey there, I'm Michelle Charrier, and this is the Retail Whore Podcast, the stories and lessons from the life of retail. Hello, hello, everybody. As promised, I am adding an additional episode every month that will be a solo. Topics will cover everything from what is happening within my world, what I'm working on, projects, updates on any exciting news. This will also be the time where I'm talking about everything from, I don't know, best practices to today. I'm going to talk about how I attack store flips, because I am heading out right now as we speak. I leave next week back to California. Most of you know I've been living in Oregon. We moved here just over a month ago. And I am kind of, you know, it's a weird time. I'm having to figure out how and what my business looks like than what it's looked like previously. I have always been in LA. So I would, you know, I have my clients in California two times a year. I live in Vegas. And, you know, it's been fine. And now we're here. My clients are in California. I actually have a brand new client here in Oregon. But by far and large, work is going to look very different for me. So I am navigating my way through of things like having a lot of time on my hands all of a sudden. Like, I'm really not used to that at all. I think because I'm so used to going somewhere every single day that all of a sudden there's nowhere to go. And it's funny what the human will do with that. You either relax into it, you know, forget it. I'm just going to sleep in and not do anything and, you know, sit and watch TV. Or you, which I did a little of that. I think I needed to after everything we've been through. But really now it's like having a chance to kind of dive a little deeper into things that I've wanted to do and never have had time. I think I said it on the last podcast that I'm reading a book, Be Seen. And one of the things was, are you stopping your own growth by filling your schedule so much that you have no room to do something new? And your excuse becomes, I wish I could do that, but I don't have time. And I realized when I read that statement, that's very much what I've been doing, is packing my schedule so full that other projects like creating webinars and creating programs and, you know, new posts for social media like TikTok and whatnot, all that kind of always was the excuse. You know, I want to, but I'm too busy. So lo and behold, I have time now. I actually am putting on a webinar for Emporia, which is a consulting group that works with thrift stores, vintage shops, antique malls. And I'm going to be talking to them about merchandising and how it plays back to storytelling. I'm going to, because I had so much fun developing that, I'm going to develop another one that will be out there for everybody to join and watch. And hopefully it leads to more. But these are things that I never thought I could do because I, A, never had time. And B, honestly, not only does it require time, it requires me to be able to focus and to apply myself. And if I could tell you how many times I heard, she's very nice, but she doesn't apply herself through school, my entire life of education, that's always been on my report card. And apparently this is what I've done my entire life. But now to be able to actually see what it looks like when I do apply myself and what I was able to accomplish. And it's also something that I never thought I could, because you all hear me. I always say I'm not tech. And I think that that's part of my own insecurity, that I throw that out as just like a blanket statement. And while I may not do things the same way somebody else plans things, because as ADD and as I'm ADD and I'm something else, I can't remember, but you find other ways to figure out how to do things and you figure out other ways to solve problems. And they may not be the shortest and the straight way to take care of it. It always is kind of a go around. I'm sure you've heard the story of me trying to figure out my own Calendly and how I went in through the back, and we still don't know how I did it. But I totally screwed up my whole Calendly, where Elisa put me as a block. I'm not allowed to go on my own Calendly. Still, to this day, I'm not allowed to go on my own Calendly. But as ADD people, that's what we tend to do. We tend to find things, other ways to go about them. So I did figure out how to do my own webinar. I kind of drew it out on paper and, you know, attached what slide I wanted to go in where. And it was fun. It was a little frustrating because I'm impatient, so you want to go faster. But soon as I relaxed into it, I really enjoyed it. And I said to Dave, I understand, and I said this in the podcast before, is that I understand now when I see all my friends create all this amazing content or write books or whatever, I realize they're not going to a job site every day, and they're not, like, their job is sitting at their desk creating content. And I've never had that because I've packed my schedule so full. So having this time, I've been applying myself and I've been creating stuff that I will admit I'm super excited. And all of a sudden it's like, it opens these doors for things to bring to you guys. And I'm super excited about it. So today I'm going to talk a little bit about how I approach redoing my stores. I have not seen my stores since November. I set everybody up for Christmas. I want to say it was the first and second week of November. It was the same time we were setting up Bristol Farms overnights. And it was also the same time we were packing up to move out of our house of 10 years. So it was a little bit chaotic. But nonetheless, I haven't seen my stores since I moved. I came back here because I went right from us moving out of our house to we moved directly into Vegas. We were on the Vegas job site for 3 months, almost 3 months. And then we drove directly here. And it's been just over a month since we got here. And now I'm headed out to California. By the time you hear this, I'll have already been back, but I am heading out on the 19th and I am going to be doing Lit Concept for 3 days. I'm going to be hitting Serendipity for 3 days. I'm going to be hitting Rock Paradise for 3 days. And then I'm going out to Bristol Farms to walk their holiday. We always walk it after we pack it up. I run a list. We send it into corporate to decide what we're going to expand on. If we're going to be doing more decor somewhere else, like for instance, this year, I think we're adding it to their personal care department because it was never added. And now when you see the rest of the stores all lit up, the personal care section's sadly void of any decor. So I think that that's what we're going to add. So I've got to go take care of, figure out what we need in order to add for that. But the first thing I do when I'm coming out is I meet with all my clients. I just talked to Serendipity this morning and get a handle on what their business has been like because I don't get people's reports, sales reports, and I don't have any real numbers to gauge things on. And since I'm not there in person, I have no way of gauging inventory. So I touch base with them. I ask what's working, what's not. What concepts are doing well? What concepts we want to create more of for Rock Paradise? I'm one of their buyers, so I decided that we are going to roll out. Mother's Day is going to be expanding on their personal care department. And then we're also going to open up a yoga department where we're going to be selling straps and some blankets and books and some care items that will be geared towards the yoga lifestyle. And then I'm going to reintroduce home decor. It was funny because I was going through pictures of what the store looked like when we first opened. And it was before it got really dialed down into niches of like the witch and the astrology. We had touches of it, but it wasn't as deep as it is now. But going back and looking at the home decor part of it, where it was less woo-woo and it was more like you would have as a designer in your house or whatnot. So I ordered some more pieces to do with that. And I'm excited to reinvent a whole section and create it into home decor. And we'll see how that does. It's going to be, everything is always cross-merchandised with crystals. So whether they're large crystals or small crystals and the books, like it all becomes one big concept. But we haven't had frames. We haven't had bowls. We haven't had vases for a long time since I think when we opened. So that's going to be the new thing for me. Lit Concept, I'm going to do a Zoom walkthrough. Same thing. I find out what has done well. I can tell what it looks like on Zoom because I obviously I've said it before, but it will give me a good idea of like what has changed, what hasn't changed, what is fresh. They've got tons of new product. They brought in several containers. The ones from Belgium are, oh my God, to die. Like they're not your typical big oak, like very intricate, armoires and whatnot. They're more rustic looking. They're more primitive looking. Amazing. Like I am so excited. I don't know how much is going to be left, to be honest with you, from when they first got it, because it was originally intended to arrive before I had even left California, but it kept getting delayed and delayed. And it finally got here, of course, after I was in Vegas. So I got to see it unravel on their Instagram, but not be part of it. So I'm super excited about that. And then Serendipity, I talked to her this morning, got an idea of what is working for her, what her inventory levels are. She's sending me pictures. Rock Paradise is sending me pictures of each store. So I will sit once I've had everybody's conversations and I have a good idea of what has worked and what hasn't as far as concepts, and as well as spaces, like, hey, Michelle, this section is not selling. Serendipity has this one cabinet that everything has just stopped selling from there. I have a thought on why, but at least I know this going into it. So then I will sit with everybody's photos, really kind of dive in deep and look at what I think is missing. So they have enough time that they need, they can order stuff. And then I will start running a list of, say, for Rock Paradise, I'm going to land on the 19th, get my rent a car. I'm going to go downtown. I'm going to get some kimonos to go back into that personal care area and some scarves and some feminine pieces. Then we're going to hit another place and pick up some other cash and carry items for them. And then I am going to get them live plants again. It's been a long time since we had live plants in there. Like in the beginning, it was fresh and beautiful and green, and it's hard to keep this stuff alive. So I've transitioned into faux. But again, going back and looking at some of these pictures, like I really miss that. So I'm going to bring a little bit of that to them back and hope that, crossing my fingers here, hope that they can keep them alive. And like concept, I don't really have to do anything like that. I'll go through the same thing, go through the pictures. And then a lot of what I do is intuitive when I get to a lot of my stores. Lit concept, for sure, that's what it is. Like I can walk the floor and really get an idea of how the flow works, where there's congestion in spaces, where there's blocks. I'll walk through and I'll also, you know, kind of like, honestly, like the first hour I spend in people's stores is walking the floor and really kind of taking in the space and figuring out where we're going to make changes. So that's all my homework that I do prior to getting to everybody's stores. Once I get there, I spend the hour on the floor. I really look at because you can't change everything in 3 days. I'm going to try and change a lot, but certainly it won't be every single section. So I really look at where is our weakest part and the last thing that changed and had the biggest shift last time I was here. I'll go back to there. And then once that's decided, I really kind of walk the floor again and decide now what pieces, because I like to take everything out of the space. So I'm going to back up a little bit. So knowing that I like to start from scratch, I will go through the stores and see what new pieces we have and decide, am I changing every single piece of furniture or are we, you know, changing just a couple pieces out? For Lit Concept, I've got two guys that are seriously the most amazing workers. They are so good. And we've all worked together now for 2 or 3 years. So they know how I work. And, you know, as a merchandiser, you inherently know what you want to do, but there will be things that you try and it's like, let's just try this. Cause it's, you know, in the big picture, merchandising is a puzzle and there are things that are work and there are things that don't. And so the only way you're going to know they don't work is to try them. So, and we're talking like big pieces of furniture for Lit Concept. So the guys will, I'll have them come down. We decide, okay, this is the section we're going to do. I'll kind of give them a little bit of a breakdown of what I'm thinking. And the first thing we do is take everything out. I gather up all the smalls. I make piles over the corner. The guys will take the furniture and we put it like for Lit Concept. There's different, like, you know, they're kind of rooms, like three walls that's open out to the rest of the store. So we will take everything that's there and kind of put it over to the side where it's not in the middle of the floor. There's still a walk path near it, but it's out of the way. And then the store show space is empty. And this is like, this is part of the job that I love the most. And you sit there with the empty space and how I will attack resetting a floor is I will start with the biggest pieces first. This is based on, I already know, say this is going to be a kitchen section or this is going to be heavy on books or this is going to have a masculine feel or whatever. These are things I've kind of figured out as I've walked the store. How long has the kitchen department been here? How well put together is the last masculine? Because I was trying to have a masculine section in there because they have a lot of like amazing things like old maps and big like ships, like ship, not sculptures, but waving my hands for those of you who aren't watching on YouTube, but big, beautiful sailing boats and whatnot. And so I usually will have a masculine section. So just take a look at how strong each of these sections are and their spaces that they're in now, going against how long they've been there. And now I have an idea already. So this is going to be our new masculine section. I've walked the floor. I know what my biggest anchor pieces are going to be. And that's where you guys should start right away, depending on if it's, you know, if you've got a paper section or you, what's going in there? Do you have a lot of smalls? Is there going to be a lot of tabletop? Is it going to feel like a bar? Is it going to feel like an office? Is it going to feel like a study? Is it all of those things? What are my layers? So figure the last, I'm going to say the last one we set up that was one of my favorites. It was when I first started there. They have, and I've talked about this when I've done stories, is that this Lit Concepts is a third generation store that has been there. Mitchell Lit is Kevin's dad. He's had it for 40 plus years. And this is 40 plus years of going to Europe and getting containers and filling them with an entire estate, including all the way down to the columns or the mantles or whatever. And this is a lifetime of doing this. So there is a lifetime of these products, like old lighting fixtures, dining tables, dining chairs, headboards, columns, mirrors. It is like the Disneyland of back rooms. This is all downstairs in their, they have a whole storage area that's off of the below level parking. I mean, it is honestly like Disneyland. It is years and years and years and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of chairs, just chairs. So they have a lot of similar and alike items. And the one time this first time we did it and we started to roll out lifestyle concepts for them, because Mitchell's store has always been what I call stack it high and watch it fly, where it's six dressers all stacked up. You know, you've gone to antique stores before, you know what they look like. It's you're wandering through narrow aisles and it's just floor to ceiling versus a lifestyle where you feel like you're walking into someone's room. So that's kind of what I started rolling out with them. So they had hundreds of grandfather clocks and small grandfather clocks. I don't even know if they're called small, but like mantle clocks, little clocks, wall clocks, giant grandfather. So I was like, we're going to do a statement with just all these clocks and really mass it out. So you have that abundant feeling. And so we've stripped everything out. We start knowing that this is what the feeling of this room is. We move in the biggest pieces first. So they have a massive, massive, massive mantle. The mantle is no joke, two stories high. Like it is, I can't even imagine the house it came out of, but that is our anchor piece. And then I will fold in, knowing this is kind of a study feel, we're going to have a couple tables in there. So we'll get the tables placed. And where are they in proximity to the mantle? There's going to be a seating area. So go and pick out a sofa. We picked out a leather sofa. We picked out two fabric chairs, coffee table, and then a bench. And that was the seating area. And then over to the side, we had another small area, like almost like an entrance table when you walk into an entry and they have coffee table books on it. So that's my feeling. So now that the big pieces are there, now it becomes, you know, the layering pieces. What else is going to go in? The wall decor is my next thing that I do. So I've gone through the area that has all these clocks and I've pulled a ton out. The guys are starting to put them up on the wall. We have them on different, I have a desk situation. I think I did some there as well. We have some of the table clocks on the console that are behind the sofa seating area. So that is the next layer. The next layer is the accessories and the smalls. Those are smalls, but because there's so many of them, they become part of the architecture as far as the clocks. Then it's like going through and like, what coffee table books am I going to put? Or is there candles in this room? What other found objects? Because it's an antique store and we've got two glass cases in there that we put in there. I want the glass cases to feel almost like someone's trophy cabinet. So we have some sports equipment in there. We have some other items, some frames.
Hi, guys. I hope you're enjoying this episode. Now for a message from today's sponsor.
Hi, guys. Show season is upon us, and you do not want to miss Noted and Gifted. It's happening this April 17th and 18th at the Fort Mason Center for Arts and Culture in sunny San Francisco, California. While there are various trade shows and markets out there, this can't miss show stands apart from all the rest. This amazing community event is put on by the Nonprofit Greeting Card Association, led by a committee of engaged volunteers who are committed to meeting makers' needs and creating a must-attend event for buyers. All of this creates an experience that keeps the focus on stellar products and must-meet gift and stationery people. This annual event is the largest gathering of greeting card makers in the country, and this is what I'm so excited about. This year, Noted has been expanded to welcome creative gift brands and home brands in Gifted. This reimagined and reconfigured community event is the highlight of the year for gift and stationery community, and this West Coast market promises an elevated mix of both these important lifestyle categories. They are presented alongside each other for an unforgettably dynamic buying experience. You never know what you're going to discover at the next booth. Join buyers from Anthropologie, Cursive in New York, Flax, Pent Paper, Paper Lux, the San Francisco MoMA Museum Store, and Sonoma Botanical Garden to discover amazing artistry at every turn from over 100 incredible vendors. Qualified buyers attend for free. Noted and Gifted is the springtime gift and stationery happening that you cannot mix. There's community, there's connection, discovery, and products you need to set your store apart. Start planning your trek to San Francisco at greetingcard.org/noted-gifted/. Now, back to our episode. And then the last piece of the puzzle is the fabric portion of it. What, not the last, the second to last, is the pillows and the throws and the soft part of it. And the final touch is plants and where they're going to be, because this is a store that has huge, huge ceilings. Yeah, there's a big long table in this section that is supposed to feel like a dining table that's over to the side of the seating area. I want this to have these giant branches. So we have huge branches on them. I have more coffee table books laid out on that. And then that section is done. So now I have one section done. And now I have a group of furniture over here that I need to place. And I have holes where I took other pieces from that are just now in that space that we just created. So the next section is I move on to the next section and do basically the same thing. If I'm not going to use the furniture I just took out, I make sure that goes into place temporary homes. So it's not in the aisleway. So I'll take the sofa we just took out and I'll put it wherever we took the other sofa out. So you don't have this tripping factor and you don't have this just piles and piles and piles of stuff. You're going to have piles. I'm not going to lie. Like, it's impossible to do this without having some piles. But by far and large, by the time the store opens up, I need to make sure that the walkways are clear. We don't have furniture everywhere. So once we do that, then we move on to the next section. And there are some sections that are, you know, they've been sold down. They don't have as much merchandise in them. They're older. Those are the ones I'll move on to next because there's not as much to move out of them versus a section that was relatively recently set up. There's still a lot of smalls. It still has a lot of inventory in it. So going with the low hanging fruit, if you want to say that, and then we'll start the next section. And same process, take everything out. And what you'll see when you're doing shifts like this is you're going to see that it's a domino effect. You clear one section, you fill it in. You fill in the sections that you took stuff out of. You clear another section, you fill that in. Pieces that you took out of that, go and fill in spaces that you took stuff out of. So you'll see this domino effect. And it what it does is it alleviates having 8 million piles everywhere. So that's lit concept. Serendipity is a different story. Serendipity is all smalls. It's not furniture. It's a very small store. So there's not big shifts of furniture moving. It's all the smalls. And so how I handle that is the same way I handle Missoni. And I've tried to do videos on it because this is what I learned at Anthropologie is that when you are dealing with a lot of smalls, one, you need to make sure that you have at least a big table and at least you've cleared a counter. And this is, we're doing this before store hours because honestly, this is, unless you have a massive store and unless you close, the only way to do this is before store hours. And it's because there's so much shifting and because there really are a lot of piles. So Serendipity will get a table. We have our counter. Same thing. I will clear the entire space. So when I clear a space, I'm not just taking things off and putting them aimlessly in different, wherever, just throwing onto the table. I'm taking it off with the intent that I am regrouping the product. So if, say, we have a salt and we have it in two different places, I'm pulling it from both places and putting it on that section. And I'm putting all the alike items also. So if there's three flavors in that salt, I'm showing all three flavors all together on that table. Everything is stacked up neatly. Everything is in the group that it with, like whether it's a food or if it's frame or a tabletop, whatnot, but it's all grouped back together because you're going to be shopping from that later. So it's really important that you don't turn it into an Easter egg hunt and just have everything, you know, the same salt in four different places where you're having to basically create more work for yourself. Once that is clear, taking everything, all the architecture off the table, cleaning the table down, like it probably hasn't seen because there's so much on your tables. I doubt that your tables get a whole lot of clean down. The only time you can really do it and do it well is when nothing's on it. So it gets a really deep clean. We sweep, we dust, whatnot. And then I start to look at rebuilding the architecture. And ideally, we're not rebuilding the architecture, the exact same thing we just took off. Sometimes you don't have a choice because you don't have like Maison A. The beautiful thing about her store is she has so many architectural pieces that she sells. So she sells Raz, she sells Creative Co-op. They have amazing pieces that are interchangeable, but are for sale. So you kind of have the best of both worlds. It's not just props. Serendipity, majority of it is just props. So we either need to buy new props or I need to reinvent what we have. But ideally, I'm not setting the table up the exact same way I just took it down, because the whole purpose of this is that you're reinventing both the product and reinventing the display and giving everything a fresh new feel. And when you reset the architecture the exact same way, you could put all new product on there, but honestly, it's going to look pretty much the same. And this time, because I haven't been there since November, I'm excited to like just redo the whole thing and like really like start from scratch and give it a whole new fresh facelift. So all the new architecture will go in. That's the first thing that goes in. Then the second thing is, what is this table going to be? It's always been tabletop. And it's because the store is so small and right behind it, there is a case line that has the rest of it. So when you stand in front of the table, your viewpoint is the table is food, tabletop, and behind it is more food and tabletop. I want to flip it, but I can't because there's too much tabletop now and there's too much food that's really driving our business. So there's not a place to move it where I could give it a new look and it would still have enough room. There's not. So it's really important that this front table looks and feels different. And then it gets down to, okay, what is this going to be? Christmas time, it was all about hostess gifts. So it was pizza kits. It was all of the, you know, pizza cutters, pizza cookbooks, Italian, there's bread baskets, there were butter knives, there was like olive oil, dipping bowls, all of those yummy gifts. So this time it's going to be summer. Camping is still a big thing. So I'm not sure if I'm going to do something sweet like s'mores or like nuts and whatnot that you'd take with you hiking and that we'd mix in cookbooks. But this is what I decide when we get there. And then once you decide where your smalls are, then I start building it in. Your biggest pieces, now that your architecture's done, your biggest pieces are what go in now first. So for the last time, it was these big salad bowls, it was big tongs, it was cookbooks. Those I will build in first because they need room and you need to make sure. So as soon as you have the biggest pieces in there, then it gets down to what's next. Cookbooks are usually the next thing that I build in, showing them up, showing them on their side spines and showing them stacked up. Once that's done, then start building in the smalls, olive oils, the salts, what have you, and making sure that I have add-on sale cross-merchandising going across the board. This would be for the olive oils, making sure I have little dipping bowls for the salts, that I have little salt pigs to go with them. If there's jams and jellies, to make sure that I have little spreaders. Like these are all things that are going to create add-on sentences. I don't usually show candles with food. I think it's, you can, and I have, but for a table this small, it's really important. It's just food because I think it's, to me, it's odd because you want to smell the salts if they have a sample and then you're smelling this fragrance candle. And I just feel like it's too much for the senses. So I keep them separate. So once all that's done, you've pulled a lot of stuff off your counters and fed it in. And now because you've also pulled from other parts of the store, you've created voids in those spaces. So that's what I move on to next. Is say the cabinet that's behind this dining table that I've just pulled out six different items from. I can look at that and say, okay, let's shift some things here. And then I can take what I took off that table that's sitting over on the counter and on this other table, I'll build that back in. And what I have left is usually what I will say it will reveal itself where it ends up. You always, as a merchandiser, you always have a random pile of things where you're like, what shall I do with this? And you walk around with it for a while. Those you end up finding later as you go. But it is by far and large, you are dealing with a very small amount of merchandise because you put all the rest of the bulk of your product out. So that's how I attack Serendipity. Rock Paradise, it's a bigger store. There's a lot more room. It's pretty full, but it's full of a lot of rocks. So it's, you know, big amethyst, big citrine, like big pieces that is a little bit more labor intensive to move. I get to the store at 5:30 or 6. Tony, who's the manager, will come in a little bit later. He's the muscle. He'll move the big stuff for me. But I, same thing, I'll walk the store. I've already seen the photos, but I'll really walk the store. I run a list of what sections I'm going to hit. I'm going to be in each of these stores for 3 days. So I will do a schedule like Monday, I'm going to take care of this, Tuesday, Wednesday. So I'll walk the store, run the list of what sections I need to change. I've ordered a bunch of new merchandise for them and I've asked them to hold it. So they have Metro carts. And for those of you who have enough room and you have a stock room big enough, I highly suggest either the little restaurant busboy carts or the tiered Metro carts on wheels, because it makes it so much easier to roll around. We don't have any of those tables. It's all on these big carts. It's the same thing when we set up Transpac that I requested that we get these big Metro carts, because they're able to put everything for Transpac, like if it was Easter, almost all of Easter was on one of these carts. And you are able to walk around and maneuver this cart with you. It is the best investment for yourself or your merchandiser that you will ever make, because it makes it so much easier. So they will have their new product that I ordered. It'll be there waiting for me. I pick one section. Where are we starting? I will take out the little busboy cart because we have one of those as well. I'll take off everything that's on, say I'm starting with that front three tier. I'll take everything off it, put it on the bus cart. I have already decided, say that is going to be, we're starting to do the birthday month is the three, the three tier at the front. So whatever, if it's Gemini, if it's Sagittarius, whatever it is, like all the stuff from the astrology section, plus books that will go back to it, plus crystals that are whatever that birth month is, plus any items, spirit animals they have, well, and any of the astrology candles, that'll all go there. That is the first thing I do. We set it up. The pieces that I have, you know, on that push cart that came off the three tier, I will go through and I'll go put it back into their homes or where I think it belongs, and then move on to the second. That Metro cart with all that merchandise is rolling along with me as I go. Because your job as a merchandiser as well is to make sure the new product is placed. It is front and forward. It's the first thing you see. It's the new fresh stuff. So I will make sure I'm pulling from that cart. And a lot of times the concepts are based on what is on that cart, or I'm kind of reinventing them as we're rolling them around. So I know I have a new candle group on there. I don't know the packaging, so I'm going to see. Packaging plays a lot too, as well as like, as well as a concept, the packaging. If the packaging's bright and fun and there's other things we can add to it to create a bigger statement of it, we'll do that. Or it is a concept like astrology. This is all astrology, or this is all Mom's Day or stars and moons. We have a whole witchy section. So the newness on that cart is kind of what starts the creative part of it. And then I'll make sure the newness stuff is placed first. A lot of it, it's not all new and it doesn't all end up together. It 9 times out of 10, it's all new and it ends up spread throughout the store. Another reason why I try and do that is because your customers, at least ours, for all three of these stores that I'm hitting, all have the same customer that comes in week after week after week. If I put all the brand new stuff in one place only, that means every other section in the entire store does not get any newness and does not get any freshness. And your customers who come in week after week after week, this is the reason why I say that front section in your store needs to change all the time, because your customer, it's just human nature. If you look at something and it doesn't look like it's changed, you automatically think nothing's new. But if you interject new stuff into it and you shift it around a little bit, you add a different plant, you add different candle, different crystals for there, all of a sudden the old stuff looks new and the new stuff is front and focal. And it's like, it all feels fresh again. And that's really why I don't use all the new stuff in one place, because it's incredibly important that as many of the sections I can hit that we can make look new and fresh for the customers that come in week after week, I need to do that. Another thing I'm looking at doing that I haven't done in a while is moving kit. It's like in the middle of the store. I didn't want it right in the front. I don't know why. I think that, you know, I still go back to the theory of anthropology of public to private. So I still go back to, I want the beginning of the store to feel like you're walking to someone's house. It's their living room. It's their outdoor entertaining area, what have you. I don't think I want them to walk into the kids department. Like, not for any of the, because if there were a whole kids store, that would be a different thing. But the kids section is so small. And because it's a crystal store, it's a lifestyle crystal store. And there are things in that kids department that all go back to crystals and fossils and like all these fun things of kids that all tie back in. I just didn't want it to be the first thing for people to walk into. But as we've gone along and I've shifted things from front to back and back to front, yeah, I also go back to what would feel fresh. What haven't the customers seen? They haven't seen kids in front. Am I going to move the whole kids department up front? I don't know. I mean, right now, the two big front sections are the witchy section and astrology. And they are, to be honest, that bread and butter. I don't move them. Our customers that are buying those items know every single month when they have a gift to get for their friend that's, you know, whatever their sign is, they know where to go. I used to move it around all the time. And what it did was confuse customers. They're like, wait, where's this? Didn't you just have astrology over there? So because it's a bread and butter line, I've chosen to leave it in the same section. And we just finesse the items that are there. That's been about 2 years since we've kept it there. And now I'm like, you know, I also try and change the way I think. Sometimes I don't try to stick my rule. It's like, we're not doing it. We're not moving. I try and even with myself, challenge myself on doing some things differently. So I'm going back and forth of maybe moving kids up front and having it over to the side and having astrology or the witchy section be somewhere else. I don't know. But that's one of those things that I decide as we're going along. But by far and large, all the new stuff is going to be on that cart. It all is going to get interjected to different sections. So it all feels fresh and new. So that's how I approach my shifts. And then once everything's said and done, I will start to do Zoom meetings with Rock Paradise once a week where we walk the store. I can let them know, hey, this looks like it's kind of selling down. Let's walk the store and walk the stock room and see what you have and see what you can reinvent. I'm training Tony to merchandise more and more. He's getting stronger. But, you know, I mean, there's a lot of layers to merchandising and it's not like you can just say, oh, change this. And with no direction and no understanding of the who, what, why is always what I say is when it comes to merchandising, who's buying it, what is it, and why are they buying it? And so that's kind of when I trains. But for now with Tony, the great part is he's learning. I'm able to give him direction from far away. He's able to implement it. And then he sends me pictures like, here's what we did. What do you think? If I have any suggestions, I'll give them to them then. But this will be interesting on how all these shifts happen, because like I said, I'm used to being in my stores every other week, 2 weeks, every 3 weeks. And now they're going to be seeing me quarterly where we do bigger shifts where I upheave as much as I can, make some big, big changes. And then it's, you know, they can run it, manage it, place new merchandise in between. And then in 3 months, I come back and we do the same thing, upheave it. But these are all unknowns in the world of Michelle right now and the changes in living in Oregon. It's all new. And I have no idea how it's going to play out. This will be my first weekend back in California where I'm doing this. And if you follow MC Design Collaboration, hopefully you will follow along and see by the time you hear this, it's going to be done. But hopefully you guys will have seen what I've done. I'm going to make sure I do another one of these and kind of update everybody on how the shifts went and what we did and what worked and what didn't. I also want to let you guys know, we are starting to drip water on it. I'm starting to do Zoom consultations with retailers. And what it is it looks like a 2-hour deep dive into your store. We walk your floor. We talk about what's working, what's not. I look at your floor plan, because I, from working on floors for as long as I have, I can walk into a store, either look at it through Zoom or physically walk into it, and I can see where the flow of traffic. I worked with a store in Riverside. She was taking me through or doing the Zoom call. And she had this one cabinet that was in the middle. Like, I'm all about dropping cabinets in the middle of the floor. And I like to use open backed ones so that you can see through it, but drop the case in the middle. And I said to her, does anyone go past that? And she said, no, they get to it and they turn around. And I said, looking at it, it looks like you're almost walking into a back room. The way it's placed, it's too close to the back. So it feels like you're walking. And sure enough, she flipped it and opened up the whole space and traffic started to go back to that back corner again. So I realized that with being able to do Zoom consultations, I'm able to assess what I think is your pain points in your store. You guys execute them. If you want to keep me on and I can do more work with you from afar via merchandising tabletops or, you know, giving advice on tabletops or building out the tabletop on paper and sending it to you and another store I'm going to start working with, I'm going to be doing the same thing. This is what I suggest you buy. This is the three tier that we're talking about. Here's the merchandising plan. Here's what to fill it in with. If you've sold out of X, Y, and Z, this is what it feels like. This is what the whole thing. So if you are interested in doing a Zoom consult with me, if you would like to hire me, if you haven't been able to, because I was in California and you're across the East Coast, this is your chance to work with me where it's a fraction of the cost of me coming to you to do it physically. And you still get the same advice. You still get the same strengths that I have as a merchandiser. It's just you are carrying it out. And I think in the big picture, what this is going to create is stronger merchants because you guys are going to be carrying out the merchandising from my eyes. I'm not physically doing it. And for me, I learned the best when I'm having to do it myself. And I think that that's what this is going to create is stronger merchants, plus an awareness of your inventory and your floor that maybe you didn't have before, or you have it trained with somebody, or you're a new store owner, whatever it is. But we're going to be rolling these out soon. So I'm super excited to share them with you and share the success stories as we go along. But this is the first of our additional solos. If you guys have any suggestions of what you want me to talk about and how I concept, whatever your thoughts are and whatever you want to hear on, send me a DM, send me an email, mcdesigncollaboration@gmail.com or retailwhorepodcast@gmail.com. You can send a DM to me through either Instagrams, or you can send us a message through the retailwhorepodcast.com website. Whatever way you want to do it, I can't wait to hear from you and I can't wait to see you all soon. Bye.
And that is a wrap. The Retail Whore Podcast is produced by myself, Michelle Sherrier, and Catherine Kalu. Our website, where you can find all of our episodes, can be found at www.theretailwhorepodcast.com. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram at The Retail Whore Podcast.